welcome to Miracle Nutrition with Hardy White. I'm Hardy White. Join me now, won't you, as we take a dream and we grab it out of our heads, stick it on the table, and start pressing clay on it to make it a reality. And then we could also probably put, I don't know, fondant on it and eat it up. Hello?
Hi, Butchie, it's Don.
Hey,
how
Don.
Are you?
I'm good, man. What's up?
Well, I'm just so, I'm so happy. I want to share something with you. So, question. You can hear me?
I can hear you.
All right, listen to this.
Nope. Click. No harmonicas. The only thing worse than a harmonica is a chromatic harmonica. Man, how do you block calls on this thing?
There's a good crowd here, Butchie. Are you nervous?
No, yeah, no, yeah, no, no, yeah.
Oh, it'll be fine.
Yeah, for you. I'm the one on stage putting it all out there.
Well, as of right now, it is fine, since you haven't read yet. It's only after you read that your spirit might be crushed.
I like a lot of the art in here.
The artist who made that mixed media piece that lights up and says exit, they impress me.
That's the actual exit sign.
That's the title?
No, that's the sign that's always here that tells you which way to leave the building.
I'm sure that's one interpretation. I also like the companion piece that says, this is not an exit. It's very Magritte, because it is an exit, but it's not an exit, but it is an exit, but it's not an exit.
You need anything for the reading, Butchie?
Maybe a bottle of water.
Ask the artist behind that installation entitled Refreshments, Cash Only, if they'd set you up.
Can I have your attention, please, everyone? Attention? All right, welcome to the Superposition Festival. We have a great lineup tonight of many artists who are here to share the product of their hard work, both physical and emotional, as they feast on the manna of your praise or are destroyed by the poison of your rejection. Our first reader tonight is Butchie Spinoza reading his poem, For Example Me.
Dark space, white room, white light, dark white walls, white night, forward legs, still head, still white head, and dark, dark soul, dark walls and walls and walls each day, and dark and forward still, and cold still, and dark and white, bright moment of your attention, attention, bright attention, light moment, dark room and night, both still, both too much, light and white, still, dark and still, white walls, light touch, white pain and moments of attention, cold still though, dark still though, a white light touch and bright light air, still arm, still head, still table, dark, cold, alone each day though, and still dark and still light and bright white touch and pain, my head, my legs, my light, my dark, my room, dark white room, and ever, trace for the still beating pulse and the night's acceptance of the dark and understanding of the light and the head's understanding in pain tomorrow or not tomorrow, rooms and not rooms forever, delivering cold and the bright heat of yesterday or another day of tomorrow and white rooms and white dark.
Well, that's over. I guess most people thought you were done a couple words into it. Maybe they saw the exit piece and got confused.
I will never make art again.
Hey, Hardy, can I get you to listen to something and give me your honest opinion?
Oh, man. Okay, how honest?
Pretty honest.
Well, what is it?
The other night, I had this great dream and I dreamt this song. It was very vivid, and it really spoke to me, so I got up and I sort of mumbled what I remembered into a tape recorder. Then the next day, I listened to that, and it all came back to me, so I recorded it the way I heard it in the dream. It's just about a minute long, but I'm sort of proud of it. Could you just put the headphones on and listen and tell me what you think?
Sure.
This is for. I don't know who this is for. I'm confused all the time. Mostly confused, I'm confused all the time. Elephant. 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 I need to remember to render these thoughts and surrender this heart into separate emotional states. Praise to the brain's incredible reign. Elegant. Elephant. Elephant. Elephant.
Well, what do you think?
Here's the thing. I don't really know that much about rap music.
I didn't set out to make it rap music exactly, but that's just how it came to me.
Well,
honestly.
Honestly? It just seems that that kind of stuff is very hard to do well. I don't know I get the elephant part.
Elephants don't forget.
Right.
It's about memory and forgetting.
I don't want to hurt your feelings or anything. I guess it's just not my taste.
Okay.
I'm sorry, Lou.
Okay. I'm always a little nervous about flying.
There's nothing to be nervous about.
Sure there is.
No, there's not, Butchie.
Sure there is. But at least right now you're alive. Once you're on the plane, a whole world of possibilities open up.
Thanks.
Right now you're both dead and alive.
Man, you're a comfort.
Don't listen to him.
Hey, Hardy, that guy over there is wearing a WFMU t-shirt.
No way, where?
That dude there.
Oh, how about that?
You should go say hello. Listeners, our people.
Should I?
Go ahead.
Don't mention your show in case he hates you.
Stop it, Butchie. Excuse me. I like your t-shirt.
My what now?
Your WFMU t-shirt. Oh, yes. Well, it's my favorite station.
I'm a long-time listener.
Fabulous station. I actually have a show on WFMU.
Really? What is it?
It's Miracle Nutrition with Hardy White.
Hardy who?
Hardy White. It's on Thursdays. It's sort of a, I call it Southern Inspirational Dada, but...
Oh, I know that one, yes. Not my cup of tea.
Oh.
I'm not really into the non-music shows. Well, I like talk radio, but your humor misses the mark for me. No offense, but I just don't think it works that well.
Okay.
Don't get me wrong. I adore 90% of the programming. I used to be in radio myself, so I appreciate how well most of it is done.
Yes, it's very good.
Are you a temporary show? I've always thought they should have a little more jazz.
Yeah, I don't know. Well, I just wanted to say hi.
Yes, please give my best to all the great DJs and funny people at the station.
I sure will. Nice to meet you.
Tree, tree, tree. Tree, tree, tree. Tree, tree, tree.
Hello?
Hey, Lou, it's Don.
Hey, Don, what's up, buddy?
How are you?
I'm good, man.
Well, I'm just so, I'm so happy.
Yay.
I want to share something with you. So, question. You can hear me?
Oh, absolutely.
All right, listen to this.
What? All right. Harmonica. Fantastic.
How about that, right?
Yeah, man.
Well, hang on. Listen to this.
What? Oh. More harmonic. Very nice. Yeah, all right.
Yeah, I just discovered their harmonica. It's given me so much joy.
Oh,
I can
yeah.
hardly contain myself.
Oh.
It makes me so happy. And I thought, who can I share this with? And so I said to myself, question, who can I share my joy with and my new love of harmonic. Let me just play you one more thing, Lou.
Oh, all right. Oh, yeah. Play it down. Oh, man. Oh, that's great. I'm so glad you found something that brings you joy.
White pain and moments of attention, cold still though, dark still though, or white light touch and bright light air, still arm, still head, still table, dark, dark, cold, alone, alone, each day though, and each day though, and still dark, and still light, and bright white, white touch and pain, pain, my head, my legs, my light, my dark, my room, dark white room, and ever and ever and ever, trace, trace, trace for the still beating pulse and the night's acceptance of the dark and understanding of the light and the head's understanding, understanding in pain tomorrow or not tomorrow, rooms and not rooms forever, delivering cold and the bright heat, heat of yesterday or another day of tomorrow and white rooms and white, white dark.
Bravo!
That was amazing, Butchie. Excuse me, Mr. Spinoza, that was brilliant.
Thanks.
It was a little Beckett, a little Gertrude Stein, and 100% you. I really felt the conflict about making art. Really well done.
Thank you so much.
I'll let you go. I just wanted to say that.
Really well done, man.
Thank you.
Butchie, people loved it.
You think?
Oh, yeah. Really great, man. Be proud.
Excellent. Excellent.
Thank you so much. Man, I feel good.
This is for. I don't know who this is for. I'm confused all the time. Mostly confused. I'm confused all the time. Elephant. 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 Need to remember to render these thoughts and surrender this heart into separate emotional states. Praise to the brain's incredible reign. Elegant. Elephant. 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 Well, what do you think?
You dreamt that?
Yep.
Lou, I loved it.
Thank you.
No, I thought it was really cool. Are you going to keep going on it?
It depends on if it's worth it.
I think it is worth it. Keep going, man. It's very catchy. I really liked it.
I don't know how original it is or anything, but it really made me feel good making it. I think a lot about memory and forgetting and all because of my dad's mom.
Yeah, I know.
Man, I'm so glad you liked it. This gives me the encouragement I need to go on.
Well, I felt really honored to hear it, man. Very, very nice.
Thanks, Artie. Hey, Hardy, that guy over there is wearing a WFMU t-shirt.
No way, where?
That dude there.
Oh, how about that?
You should go say hello. Listeners, our people.
Should I?
Go ahead.
Don't mention your show in case he hates you.
Stop it, Butchie. Excuse me. I like your t-shirt. Oh, thanks, man. I'm a big WFMU fan. Me too. Whoa. Are you Hardy White?
Why, yes, I am.
Oh, man. I absolutely love your show.
Well, thank you so much.
Really, I think I've heard every episode. Thank you so much for doing it. I really love the One Door Many Rooms show. That was excellent.
Well, thank you so much, friend.
Whoa. Is that Butchie and Lou?
Well, yes. We're headed back to Kentucky.
Shemp jive, Butchie.
Shemp jive.
Man, this is unreal. I've always wanted to meet you and tell you that I appreciate what you do. I know it can probably seem thankless sometimes.
You know what? Not with moments like this. You have just made my week, my month, my year. I can't tell you how much it means to me.
Wow. Hardy White, can I get a picture?
Sure. Let's do it.
Smile.
All right. Well, I need to get back to the guys, but it's been wonderful meeting you, friend.
Same. Hey, safe flight, and I'll tune in next week.
All right, same to you. I don't mind flying too much, but the taking off is a little nerve-wracking. Glad they have these in-flight movies. I think I'll escape into one of these while we take off. Let's see. The Superposition of Unpresented Art. I've never heard of that movie. I think I'll check it out. You ready to go?
No, I'm not.
Why not?
The painting is finished.
But if the painting is finished, then you must be ready to go.
No, because now the painting has to go with me.
I don't understand.
When I was working on it, the whole universe opened up to me. Every possible world, every outcome was at my fingertips. All opposites were united. Light and darkness, hot and cold, beauty and horror, past and future. It was a singularity containing far more than just my imagination. Every word, every reaction that any mind might have dwelled in the unfinished canvas of that painting. I was unfolding a flower of infinite petals. I felt all the love that ever was balanced by all the hate that ever was. I was everyone and no one at all. Do you understand? But now this thing I have made must be abandoned and become frozen and pick just one side that was a multifaceted gem. Now I have succeeded or failed. I have made a thing of beauty or a thing of ugliness. I will be praised or condemned. Don't you see? Creation has shattered in my hands, and I must dwell on a small piece of the broken glass of possibilities.
So you're not ready to go. Man, that is what I go through every week for the past many, many years. Once I'm done creating, the thing I made starts its life and is loved or hated, lives or dies, and eventually it dies anyway. Maybe I'll just listen to some music instead.
Can't believe my grandma's gone. She's been gone so long. I still get sad sometimes. I cry a lot when I think about old times. Wish I were still a child sometimes. All my older relatives are gone. It makes me sad and I cry.
Hey Lou, that's beautiful. What are you singing?
Oh, sorry you heard that. That's not for public consumption. That's my therapy song.
What's that?
Well, some art is for sharing and some isn't. That song just helps me calm down and express things out loud. I know that it would sound foolish to other people.
Well, I think it's very beautiful.
Thank you, but I honestly don't care. In fact, I'm sort of sorry you heard it.
Oh, I'm sorry. Why is that?
Because when it's just me singing in private, it's the most perfect thing in the world. It makes me feel sad and happy at the same time. It's like taking a bath. It feels wonderful. But if people are watching you, you get self-conscious, and it's ruined.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to eavesdrop.
No, thank goodness you liked it. If I'd been ridiculed for it, I would have lost something very special to me. Because that's the one thing in the world I don't do wrong. At work, I get criticized. On the show, I get criticized. And that's fine, I accept that. But I need a space where I can cry out to the universe in a language that only I understand.
Yeah, as long as it never leaves you, it's the greatest song there is.
Exactly. Not everything has to be evaluated.
Sorry to eavesdrop, but I had an aunt that would critique cookies you'd give her. I'd take cookies I'd made when I was a kid over to her house, and she'd tell me they were too dry or something. I'd say, it's the thought that counts, evil Aunt Jenny.
Yeah, something like that.
I like the cookies. I should have just eaten them myself.
Anyway, I hope you guys have a special secret song. A pure song of the heart.
Oh, hello, my friends. Have you ever had a happy accident? And I'm not talking about like when a clown car crashes. I'm talking about when you just happen on something and it changes your life forever. The other day, I was reading about quantum mechanics because I was under the impression that I could repair my own quantum. But it turns out a quantum is not a lawnmower, and it's not even a brand of lawnmower. My friend Jim custom made me a lawnmower and named it a quantum, leading me to pull out a book about physics. I didn't realize that. But I read it anyway, and I opened that book and something leapt out at me, and I believe it was a millipede, but I didn't kill it because it was the beneficial kind of millipede that eats demons, and then I summoned a whole army of millipedes forth to consume all the demons of the earth. I didn't do that. I just flicked it onto the floor and continued reading, and I saw some. I'm not going to go into detail about what I read because I didn't understand a word of it. Well, there was actually one word I did understand. Superposition. And by understand, I mean I could pronounce it. And I'm not really sure what it means to this day, but I'm going to kind of approximate what I think it means and what I want it to mean. And I don't even really care if that's what it means or not, because it helped me reach another idea. I took it to mean something like this, that a particle or a wave or something can be in two different places at once until it's observed. That something can be more than one thing until it's actualized or till it's seen, right? So I thought, well, what is like that? What else is like that? And then I thought, snack day. Did you ever have a snack day? Did you ever belong to an organization or something where they had a calendar and you had to pick a snack day? I don't know whether it's a driver's ed class or something like that, or Lamaze class, or a child's Sunday school class or something. It's your snack day. You signed on the calendar. It is your day to bring snack. I thought, that's very interesting. That involves a decision. Snack day. You know what that reminds me of? Life. Art. It's our snack day. Your life is a snack day. You've signed up and it's time to bring something. Will you bring a bag of corn chips, which is kind of lame? Will you make your own cookies? Will you make homemade bagels? That's going too far. But you have all this range of choices, and until you settle on a snack, it's all snacks. It's a success. It's only an actual success or failure after you bring the snack. I was invited to a child's school, and they had an international food day. This school had a lot of families from different countries, and every once in a while they would have a potluck dinner and people would bring the food of their culture. It was a fantastic thing to go to, and I sort of weaseled my way into an invite. I go, sure would like to go this year. And so I went, and they had fantastic foods from all over the world, but somebody brought a bucket of chicken from a fast food place, and I thought, well, you know, they're being honest. At least, or something. And I live in Kentucky, so it was probably somebody from here. So this is actually the food of my people. And it was fine, too. I had that and Baba Ghanoush. Why not? They actually kind of go together. And I believe a lot of the chains are offering Baba Ghanoush. Perhaps they aren't. I don't know. I would love to get tabbouleh with my chicken leg. This snack day and this superposition, what do they have in common? Hardy. Well, you know, when I'm going to do a show, I get these ideas. I go, oh, superposition. So something can be all these things at once before anybody sees it. And my show is like that. So I got this idea that art is like that. When you make something, a song or a poem or a painting, before you present it, it's full of possibilities. It hasn't failed. It hasn't succeeded. It's just this thing containing potential. It's a million things at once, right? And then you do the poetry reading, or then you present your music at the club, or you present your painting at the club, or you read a poem at the club. Probably not a good idea. I don't know whether people are there to see that. I went to some poetry readings at a bar,
and a lot of people were not interested in it. Funny, because they were doing other things and everything. I'm playing pool, so I can't concentrate on your poem. So it's hard to gauge whether it was a success or a failure, right? But you bring that snack, you bring that bag of corn chips, or you bring those homemade cookies, Mrs. Brown's Brown Edge cookies. Mrs. Jones' Brown Edge cookies? Mrs. Brown's Joan Edge cookies? I don't remember. My grandmother's recipe. It was in a recipe book. Something called Brown Edged Cookies. Or Brown Edge Cookies without the D. It's hard to know. I'll do some research. Do some food research. And you want them to be a success, and you want people to like them. And then sometimes they do, and then sometimes they don't. So I thought that'd be a good idea for a show. My show is like that every week. I have an idea for you. And until I put it into reality, until you hear it, it is both a success and a failure. Now, when you actually put, did you hear me? I didn't mean to belch a little bit like that. I drank some orange juice very quickly. Because I was like, oh, I got to get going on the show, but I need this orange juice. So it had just potential there, and then it came forth and went through one of Richard Feynman's slits there, and now it's gone. So the snack I'm bringing this week is the idea that your art or your ideas or your feelings create all this potential before you share them. Then you share them and you're either crushed or lift up, right? Or usually something in between. Are your shows a success or a failure, Hardy? Usually neither, I guess. Something in between. Some of them, I guess, are better than others. Some of them appeal to some people and not others. You never know until you put it out there. Somebody might prefer the fast food fried chicken to somebody's homemade eggplant dip. You don't know. So once you do it, though, then there's all the possibilities have been destroyed, sort of, isn't it? It can be disheartening. Oh, but it's better than not putting it out there at all. Don't try to get out of it by not bringing your snack on snack day. Oh, bring it anyway. Because there's still potential there, you know? So bring it forth. Bring your poetry forth. I know it's difficult. Some you can keep at home. If you think that only you are going to appreciate it, there are some things I make myself as a snack that would be absolutely repulsive to others, and I would never serve it. I would never serve it to them because they might not like canned tuna mixed up with spaghetti sauce and spinach. See, I think that's good, but you might not like that, and I would never serve it at a fancy dinner party. No, no, not without embedding it in aspic. Everything is better if it's set in congealed aspic in the middle, suspended in there, and then perhaps glazed with some sort of pink glaze that's really savory and not sweet. Isn't that horrible? I have a 50s cookbook, and it says to do this. Take a whole salmon and ice it with pink icing. All right, that doesn't sound very good, but look how pretty it looks. It does. Oh, the wonderful photography they had back in the day made everything all sorts of odd colors. And they loved all kinds of gelatin and everything. My grandmother would do that. She'd make this Jell-O salad. It was green gelatin, Jell-O. That's a brand, I guess. Gelatin dessert. Lime, I suppose. And in it, she would somehow magically embed sliced radishes and celery. And you say, well, that doesn't sound too good, Hardy. Well, I don't know. You know, at the time, I liked it. So make the Jell-O. She called it Jell-O mold. I make the Jell-O mold. That sounds repulsive because mold, we don't usually eat mold unless it's on French cheese. Hi, I'm Hardy White. I represent the French Cheese Association. I don't, though, but I like Roquefort and I like Tom d'Ambert and things like, no, that's not what it's called. Tom d'Ambert, what is it? I don't know. Tom, I forget. Lots of French moldy cheeses. Tome de Savoie, I was thinking of. That's not a moldy cheese. But, you know, there's all sorts of delicious Morbier moldy cheeses. And a lot of them contain the penicillin mold. What's that? Penicillin mold. You know, make it from moldy bread. It's penicillin. So if you're eating a piece of cheese and you happen to step on a rusty nail, which is a type of cocktail, but you might break the glass and it gets in there and gets infected, and you're going to need to rub some blue cheese on it. I have this idea that, I guess it was, I got it from the Three Stooges or something, and they made some kind of compress out of Limburger cheese and put it on somebody's chest or something, rubbed Limburger cheese on somebody, and then put some brown paper on it. Is that a thing? Did I make that up? That sounds very Three Stooges. If it's not, it probably should be. They've tried to remake the Three Stooges. This terrible, terrible, terrible idea. Never do that, because you might be making something that wasn't good to begin with. It just has some sort of appeal for some reason that you can't quite put your finger on. Some things, it's difficult to describe why they're valuable, like a painting or a poem or a song or a radio show. I don't always know what's going to be the best thing. I try. And, you know, yes, some things do fail. Is that bad? Is all art equal? No, of course not. I'll tell you why. A lot of people have different ideas about what art is. Some people just, it's self-expression. So they believe, well, whatever you do is valid, equally valid, because I'm just expressing myself, anything that comes out of me. But other people, like the director Andrei Tarkovsky, he might say, well, an artist is somebody who kind of serves others, makes a sacrifice, is trying to serve humanity. So in a way, it has to be something that they want, right? If I'm making a cake and I'm bringing the cake to a potluck supper, I want people to enjoy the cake. I don't want the cake to just be some idiosyncratic expression of my cake-making desires. If I'm making a king cake, the kind with a little baby in it, and I say, you know what, if one little baby is good, then maybe I'll put 100 little plastic babies in this cake, and everybody ends up choking to death on plastic babies, I've failed in a way. I say, well, that sounds pretty funny. It's not. It's tragic. So we don't want that. We don't want people choking to death on plastic, tiny plastic babies. If I were to dump a cup of baking soda into my cake and make it taste repulsively bitter and metallic, is that a success? No, no, I haven't made anybody happy with my cake. Can you always succeed with art? No, oh, but you want to try sometimes, don't you? I keep going because I think, well, if I have one thing. Did you ever hear of a one-hit wonder? Have those mainly in music and not so much in baseball. They like to have more than one hit in baseball. Well, I got that one. Remember that one base hit? Yeah, we're looking for that on a consistent basis. But sometimes with music, one big hit is enough, right? So, oh, this diamond ring doesn't shine for me. That's enough. Good. That's excellent. Everybody remembers that. You don't have to do another one. So, you know, those had that one hit wonder. I'm willing to go for that. I'm willing to have one thing that I've done right that's helped people, I think. So I keep making it. I try to make the best cake. I never try to just to dump a lot of plastic babies in it, although that, I think that would be, as maybe as an art piece, it would work. Maybe I should have an exhibit called Snack Day, and it's just a table with all this. Don't eat it. It's difficult sometimes when an art exhibit contains things that could or could not be edible. You're tempted to go eat it. That art exhibit looks good. I'm going to go take a taste of it. I was traveling recently, and I went to San Francisco, and I stayed in someone's home, and I was in this little room, and there was on the shelf, there was a little sculpture, and the sculpture was of like a, it looked like a something climbing on a cupcake, so it was obviously false, right? It was a little mouse or something, and I knew, okay, this is ceramic. It was on a regular plate, right? So it was made to look like a little mouse, like climbing on a cupcake, but also on this plate was something next to the cupcake. Looked like one of them vanilla wafer cookies. You know the kind of little crosshatch thing? They've got kind of cream filling. It's a rectangle. And it didn't look like it belonged. In the composition, it was way off, right? It was just sitting there and go, this can't possibly be. That looks like a real wafer. That doesn't look like a real cupcake, nor does it look like an actual mouse, because I don't think they actually wear tiny little hats. I don't know. I don't know enough about mice to say. But this little vanilla wafer thing, it looked very real. So I reached out. I thought, well, maybe. And I grabbed it, and it was attached to the plate. It was also part of the sculpture. It didn't look like it belonged there. But it, in fact, was also ceramic. What are you getting at? Oh, dang. I don't know. That's a perfect example. Superposition. That was a wonderful idea until it was manifest from my mouth. Sometimes I can't always get it out the way I want. You ever have that? You have a vision? Dreams are like that. You have a dream and it gives you certain feelings, and then you start describing it and you think, well, you know, the visuals of that dream are deficient. They don't really add up to the sum of the emotional experience. There must have been something I'm missing, whether it was sounds or something else, but just describing what I saw doesn't quite convey what I felt. It's so frustrating. Movies must be like that. You have an idea for a scene, you film it, and you go, man, that is really not what I saw in my head. Once it's out of your head, it's different. All the potentials collapse into a actual. Until it's out of your head, it's beautiful and ugly at the same time. Until it's out of your head, it is tall and short, hot and cold. It is everything at once. Then you gotta pick a door, like Monty Hall, the Monty Hall paradox. I won't go into that. What is that? That's when Ken schedules you for the wrong weekend of marathon week, and you end up playing the first weekend, and then you miss the hoof and mouth. That happens. How often that happens, I do not know. To me, once. But then it ends up being Purim. What are you talking about? Believe me, in my head, that all made sense. And there was some truth. I could go on and on about it, but I'll just go forward. I'll keep moving forward, making choices. It's so difficult. You don't want to go in any of those doors. You say, until I pick them, I'm a winner and a loser at the same time. I don't know, Monty, which door I want, because right now, I've both won and lost. You see what I'm saying? It's so difficult to make that choice knowing that it could lead to misery. Every time we leave the house in the morning, I don't. I'm afraid to. But let's say you're not, and you do leave the house in the morning. I'm waiting for Laura Palmer to bring me my Meals on Wheels. But if you, let's say you do leave the house, and even not leaving the house can lead to disaster. Am I right, Peekers? But we take chances all the time, don't we? And it's so difficult. Oh, if you're a creative person, or if you aren't, if you just want to share your feelings, or you want to tell somebody how you feel, or you want to express yourself, it's so frightening, isn't it? Because I don't know how it will be received. So you might not want to do it. Because when you don't do it, it's all fine until it isn't fine. Right? That's the same way with the Three Stooges. It's all fine until it's Howard. Again, I'm not sure I follow you. Hardy, I don't really want you to follow me. I don't want you to follow me. I want you to go out. Well, do you have lots of followers? What do you mean by that? People that follow me around? Yes. No, it's funny. None. I don't have any. I'm online. They say that. You know, how many followers do you have on Twitter? I don't think they're actual followers. I don't think I could get them to do things. All right, I want everybody to wear the same color. Pink robes tomorrow. Yes, oh leader. That'd be interesting. I'm not sure what I would do with that power. I don't want power over others, really. That's scary. I might make the wrong decision. I like that we can all decide our lives on our own, largely. Not really. So many things make those decisions for us, don't we? Don't they? Don't we they? Aren't we they? Are we they, or are we are ourselves? Isn't there a cartoon that said that? We are they are themselves, aren't we? Yes, whites of our eyes. They are, aren't we? So much wisdom comes from cartoons. And they are a type of art. Low art, high art. There's different kinds. And yes, they are different. Some things take great skill. For example, making things out of marble. Not marbles, but actual marble. You have to carve a... Go, oh, I messed up the nose. That's it. What are you going to do? You can't paste a new marble nose on. Very difficult thing to do. So whenever I see a marble statue, I marvel. Is that word related? No, but I think marmoreal is related to marble, isn't it? No, I don't know. I don't know. Again, I left school. I can't even tell you how many times I left school. Literally every day I would leave school. And not even on my own. I would wait till other people were leaving too, and then I would just join in. I've never been really somebody who forged out on their own. I've always been sort of afraid. Oh, I know that you have fears, my friend. Fears to express yourself. Fears to let your voice be heard. Because the consequences could be bad, but they could also be good. One time I was dreaming. I have lots of very, very odd dreams. Most people don't. Their dreams are very normal. No, they're not. You're not exceptional. I know. I'm just kidding. And there was some sort of card game. And all the people playing were very intimidating to me. And they said, do you want to play? And I said, no, I can't. And the leader, whose name was Panhandle Head, I know that's weird, he said, well, you know, you can't win if you don't play. Now, that's probably on a poster in a, you know, a card shop or something. It's not the most profound thing to do. I don't dream profound things. I dream things that are usually slogans on T-shirts or coffee mugs, but that doesn't mean I don't need to hear it. And I said, you know, you're right. If I don't participate, then nothing happens. I can't live on potential. I can't eat a potential snack. Sometimes a bag of corn chips is going to have to suffice. It's better than bringing nothing. Don't bring nothing to the snack day. That's no good. That's a cop-out. Bring what you have. You know, I don't know who said it. I think it was the great poet E.E. Rumsfeld or something, who said, you go to the poetry reading with the poem you have. You know, because we always wish it came out better. You go to the poetry workshop with the poetry you have, and you let the people who know no more than you do critique your poem without really thinking about it for longer than a few seconds and reading it only once. That's always good. Oh, thank you. Yes, well, I think it could be clearer if you did this. Oh, fantastic. Art needs to be clear. I never really... Here's the thing about writing workshops, and I'm not opposed to them. Have you been in any? It's surprising, isn't it? I didn't learn anything because I just got confused because I realized what they, they don't always fulfill the purpose you want them to. You may learn to write in a certain style, and that's fine too. I mean, that's good, and you know, you get in touch with an audience. But you also lose other audiences. So if I was to teach you how to play music, and we were all getting together, and I was showing you how to play music, it might come out in a certain way, and you leave and you go, oh, I can now play ska or something. You know, but aren't there other forms? Yes, there are. There's other ways, and sometimes it's dangerous to veer away and say, well, I'm going to try things and see what happens, and maybe break a few rules. I've been watching a lot of old movies, a lot of old what we call foreign movies, and we only call them that because maybe we're American English-speaking people, and they're made in another country, so they're foreign, but they're not foreign to the French or the Italians or the Russians. But I'm watching these movies, and I find that a lot of those great filmmakers break rules. I was watching a Japanese movie called Tokyo Story, which is the heartbreaking story of these grandparents that go to visit their children and grandchildren and find that they are sort of not wanted. And their children are kind of horrible and selfish. And the filmmaker made a lot of interesting choices, which you might look at and say, well, that kind of violates a lot of things I know about moving the camera and everything. But it's beautiful, and it works well. And you could say that person's a master filmmaker. The same thing with Jacques Tati and other filmmakers who break rules. Now you say, well, those people are master artists and all. How could I be like them? And, well, you know, keep trying things. Fail some. Go for it. You never know what's going to happen. Put it out there. Have some courage. Look at me. Use me as an example. Does it always work? No. Ow. Ow. Is my show always great? No, not at all, Hardy. Ow. Okay. Oh. Oh, I can take it. I can take it. I don't need to be constantly a success. I can take it that it sometimes fails. So when I put together this show, I wanted to give examples of like the same piece of art, sometimes working and sometimes not. It depends how you look at it. It really depends, and it depends on context sometimes. You know, I've heard poetry, I thought, well, that's not very good, and heard it in a different context and thought, man, that's actually fantastic. How could I have gotten that so wrong? That song that I thought was nothing. I hear it again and I go, man, that's actually brilliant. A film that maybe bored me at 20 excites me at... You know what I'm saying? So... It's a wonderful thing, this chance. It's a wonderful thing that things change as they're observed and change from person to person, from time to time and over time. There's overlooked artists and music and everything that takes a while to sink in. People go, oh, I ignored that for years. I had no idea, and it becomes popular again. A lot of times when the artist is already dead. Oh, you know, I wish you could come back to life. You're a big deal now. Stop it. You're killing me. Oh, you're killing me, really? Oh, yeah, you're tremendously popular now. Oh, that's fantastic, because my actual life was miserable. Oh, no, now they love you. Sometimes I think that we wait until artists are dead before we love. We don't want to give them too much love ahead of time. It's weird. I noticed that. Maybe that's not true, but it seems like it is a lot of times. And while it would be nice if people knew when they were alive what you thought, don't wait, you know, unless it's, and you think, well, you know, who's it about? Is it about me? Is it about them? Is it about everybody? Is it all centered on life? Is there nobody but me, the observer? Are there any other observers? It's hard to say. Again, I know nothing about physics. I know nothing about quantum lawnmowers. What if my lawnmower was very small? What if everything was made up of lawnmowers? Oh, are you taking drugs? No, I'm trying to jumpstart my brain by thinking something out of the ordinary. I do that a lot of times. I try to get an idea just from anywhere, like opening that physics book that I don't understand. I don't even pretend to understand things. It doesn't mean that I don't constantly want to quest after knowledge. And I don't grip onto it and say I understand or I know. I have found myself in the past confusing winning an argument with truth. Sometimes we think, well, I am truth. So if I am correct, then we have gotten to the truth. And you'll have a discussion with somebody and all you'll think about is contradicting them. That's why I force myself once a day to say, well, you got a good point there. And to think about that I may be wrong. Because if I'm going to be devoted to the truth and not just addicted to feeling good or addicted to feeling like I'm important or right, then I need to be able to feel that sting of being wrong. And I have not always been the same person my whole life. I've changed over time. I don't want a reward for it. I don't even know if I've changed for the better. But I know that I have changed because I've gone from being ignorant to being less ignorant. You know, ignorance is responsible for some horrible things. Oh my goodness. What we can do when we're ignorant. Oh, the pain, the suffering that we can bring forth. Mobs attacking people and things like that.
You read about these villages where people are not well educated and vigilante mobs going after people because they think that they're sort of aliens that are killing their livestock or something. It's like, what? You killed that good person because you are ignorant. So it does have, there is consequences for not opening your heart and your mind and your eyes. Take in as much as you can. Be a little braver. You know, it's not going to kill you to be wrong. It actually will make you stronger getting closer to the truth. This arrogant idea that you already know everything, I'm telling you, at the end of that path lies doom. And I don't mean the old video game. I mean pain and suffering for you and others. You know, before I forget about it, I just want to do that thing that radio people used to do. And you'll have less pain and suffering for others if you use this itching powder. Hi, I'm Hardy White. And sometimes my armpits get all itchy. So that's why I reach for WFMU. Why would you reach for a radio station? Because I rub it. I like to rub the radio station under my arms or right in places where it might get moist because the skin is folded upon itself like a Shar-Pei's ear. And if you want to clear that up, you want to use something like a radio station. And this radio station, you know, is special. Nobody would let me do this. Not really. I mean, if you get any value from what I'm saying, from my snack day, when Hardy brings the snack, do you get anything from it? Yes, I like your lame bag of corn chips. Thank you. Well, it's our October fundraiser, Back in Black.
Back in Black.
And thank you for so much of you who have gone to WFMU.org. I think /pledge or something, and pledge money this October to keep us into the black. So I'm going to read your thank some of you. I'm gonna try to thank all of you. Hang on a minute. I'm getting up some names to thank. So I love this because this is a lot like, what is it when you look through the romper room? When the lady would look through the mirror, she didn't realize the glass has been punched out of her mirror, and she thought she was looking at people or something. She goes, I see you. You don't see it, lady. But I do see you. I see. I'm going to thank you by your first name. Is that okay? I'm going to thank you. I'm not even going to say where you're from. Is that all right, too? Because I'm going to get through everybody. Thank you, Janine. Thank you, Christina. Thank you, Ryan, Lisa, and John. Thank you, Matthew, Phil, and Michael. Thank you, Melissa Jean. Thank you, Amanda, Emily, and Moises. Thank you, Paul, Colin, Emma, and Wendy, EJ, and Scott. I'm always afraid I'm going to make some kind of horrible, horrible mistake with name. To me, names are sacred, and I'm always going to think I'll mispronounce it or anything. I live in tremendous fear. Thank you, Kenneth, Brian, David. Some of you say nice things, too. Gabriel said a really nice thing. I don't want to embarrass myself. TL, Morgan, David, thank you. Seth, Nell, thank you. Oh, I know. Oh, I know who these people are too. Bill, Georgie, thank you. I know who so many of you are. And I'm so blessed I know you through the radio. I can't tell you how lucky and blessed I am to have that kind of support. Because it's scary. Snack day is scary. It's scary to finally get something, take it out of your head and put it out there on the table and have people come by and turn up their nose at it. And some people like it. And I know it's wonderful and I'm lucky to do it. And I know I shouldn't whine about it, but it is a little bit often frightening because sometimes it's easy to confuse the thing you make with yourself. And you think, well, if they don't like my song, they don't like me. If they don't like my cake, they don't like me. And I know that's not necessarily true. Often it is, though. Have you noticed that with artists? You know who I hate? They never say, you know whose work I hate. They always say, you know who I hate? I hate that band, Baloney Days. Like, what's that singer from Baloney Days? Mike Weenie? Mike Weenie, I hate Mike Weenie. Man, I wish he'd die, Mike Weenie. I hate Baloney Days. All right, man. Well, why don't you just hate the music or something? Because it's scary that you don't like the person.
Because what if, this is what you don't know. Do you know that Mike Weenie is a first responder in real life? He's saving lives.
I did not know that.
Well, it's not true, but you don't know that. So, you know, just you can detest the art. But the person could be totally different. So keep that in mind. And the other way around, it's all right. If the person is awful, you can reject the art, I'm pretty sure. I don't know. I hope that I've been doing that.
I'm not seeing that guy's movies anymore.
I don't know. Gosh, it's so hard. Just judging is hard. That's why I don't judge bake-offs. Because I don't want to say, I like all cakes. Which is not really true, but it's hard for me to evaluate things that have been offered with a pure heart. Some aren't, of course. Some people enter bake sales because they want power over others. Is that true? Am I spreading rumors? I don't even know. I'm so glad.
I'm glad to be alive. I'm glad to be communicating with you. And you haven't heard this yet. Now you're hearing it. And I wonder if it has any meaning for you. I wonder if it's made your day any better. I want to lift you up. I tell you what, when I open my eyes and when I open my heart, I realize there is suffering in the world. I realize that maybe I could be doing something about it. I realize that I have a responsibility to others. And that helps me keep going. And I realize that I'm not going to always get rewarded for it. I might not never get rewarded for it. And that doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if you're alone out in the woods and you see a child drowning in a lake. Do you think, oh, I'm going to get a medal? That's not the reason you jump in. You jump in and you get the child, and you may never even be recognized for that. You may put that child on dry land and move on. Only you know you've done it. And here's another level. You might not even know what happens to that child afterwards. It doesn't mean you shouldn't act. Oh, act. Go ahead. Pick a slot and go through it. Oh, great particle, oh, great wave that you are. Go ahead and exist. I know you're there. If we bump into one another, oh, it'll make it so much more beautiful. I want to take your hand and lift you up, friend. I know what you go through. That's why I'm not going to miss my snack day. Even if I'm not feeling well, even if I can't bake a cake, I will bring any kind of lame thing, and any kind of pre-made, dry, dang old donuts from the grocery store that you need to soak in coffee for an hour before they're even edible. Is this a donut or hardtack? I believe that early sailors lived off of this. But I want you to accept my nasty dried donut because I'm bringing that instead of nothing. And maybe someday somebody will be here offering you a delicious, freshly baked, one of them light kind of donuts. Or even a cronut. I don't know. But until then, I want to thank you so much for accepting my snack. I want to thank you so much for being there. And I can't thank you enough. I'm gonna thank all the people whose names I don't know. Thank you all those people who don't like the show and haven't told me. That is also a blessing. Thank you. I don't need to know. Because, you know, maybe I wish I had a thicker skin. I really do. I do some of it on my, because of a skin condition, some of it's very thick, mainly on my forehead and around my nose and everything, but that doesn't keep me from having my feelings hurt. I don't care. I ride out and into battle nude. I want to feel those blows because I want to feel the gentle wind on my skin as well. Oh, you are listening to me, Hardy White, on the Miracle Nutrition with Hardy White on WFMU East Orange, WMFU Mount Hope, 91.9 in New York City and Rockland County, New York, and online all over the world at WFMU.org. I thank you, my wonderful listening family, and God willing and others willing, we say Ken willing, I will see you again next week.